الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله.
Viewers of Madhya Channel, welcome to the weekly Ishtama. We begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who recites salat upon me the most. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhya Channel, commenting on this hadith that I just mentioned, Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, he writes that the one who will be at the most ease on the day of judgment will be the one with the blessed, beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way of attaining closeness to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to write salat upon him in abundance. From this we come to realize that salat upon the Prophet is an excellent deed, because all good deeds allow a person to reach paradise, whereas salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam grants a person the closeness to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So viewers of Madhya Channel, please make a habit of reciting Durud-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please make it your daily routine. Become habitual in reciting Durud-e Pak. Viewers of Madhya Channel, Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala. Today's speech we'll hear about his piety, his righteousness, his charitable giving, his virtues and merits, and the greatness of Imam Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala. Inshallah, we're going to listen to some virtues of him, some parables, some stories, and inshallah, azawajal, I hope we can learn something from it, because these are our true role models. These are the people that should become our role models, and these are the people that we should learn from and learn to follow as well. Sayyidina Alama Abdul Rahman Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he states that once the entire army of Amr bin Lais was gathered before him, and when he saw how vast his army was, he began to cry, and he said to himself, if only I was present at the martyrdom of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. With an army the size of this, I would sacrifice my life, honor, an entire army for him. A saint of that time was blessed with the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in his dream, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go, inform Abu Amr al-Lais that we are aware of the thought that entered his heart, and we accepted his intention. May Allah azza wa jal reward him immensely for this intention and thought. And when the saint who witnessed this dream informed Amr bin Lais of these glad tidings, he was overcome with joy and began to weep profusely. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madhya Channel, lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, devotees of Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, we can see from this how fortunate that individual was, who does not have any concern for his own fame or position, but in his heart he only expresses his love for the devotion of Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu and for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla and the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And due to his relationship with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of this, he expresses a wish to serve Imam Hussain, and that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will most definitely favor him. Because if you serve the Ahlul Bayt, if you respect the Ahlul Bayt, then without doubt, inshallah, you are pleasing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then without doubt, you are pleasing Allah azza wa jalla. The governor of Khorasan, Amr bin Lais, was seen in a dream after his death, and he was asked, how did Allah azza wa jalla deal with you? And he said, Allah azza wa jalla forgave me. And when he was asked, why were you forgiven? He said, I was once looking at the vastness of my army from a mountain, and I became happy. And when a desire came into my heart, that if only I was present in the plains of Karbala, when the army of Yazid was being unjust and cruel towards Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and the Ahlul Bayt, and I would have aided them. Thus that Allah azza wa jalla forgive me because of this intention. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, he just made an intention, a sincere intention, that if he was there, he would have respected, he would have safeguarded their lives, he would have fought alongside them, he would have martyred himself. And it was only an intention, and it wasn't even something that was possible for him to achieve, because by then Imam Hussain had been martyred. It was not something that he could have done. But because of that good intention that he made, he was rewarded by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Viewers of the channel, think to yourself that if we make good intentions, those good intentions that we can act upon, and then think to yourself what our reward will be. This was an intention that he could not act upon, but his intention was sincere. That if only I was there, if only I was in the battlefield, if only I was there, that I could be martyred before Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, and if I could present my army and all of us could die in that battlefield. Allahu Akbar. And because of that intention, he was saved on the day of judgment and he was rewarded for that. Allahu Akbar. And we can see from this, viewers of the Madini channel, that if a person who fills his heart with the love of the Ahl-e Bayt, he will attain a portion of the blessings of this world and he will also attain the hereafter. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that the one who wishes to attain mediation and desire to serve me, due to which I will intercede for him on the day of judgment, then he should serve my Ahl-e Bayt and keep them happy. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we should try and act upon the illuminating teachings of the Ahl-e Bayt. And in particular, Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu. We should also have utmost respect for these blessed personalities and consider their happiness to be our happiness. Consider their pain to be our pain and to love them with all our hearts. And we are told that if you want to teach your children something, teach them the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Teach them the love of the Quran and teach them the love of the Ahl-e Bayt. And if you teach them three things, then everything that is encompassed in Islam will be encompassed in that. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala stated that I once entered the court of the beloved messenger sallallahu ta'ala sallam whilst Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein were playing on his lap. I said, O messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, do you love them? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam replied, yes. Why should I not love them? They are the two flowers of fragrance I smell. Allahu Akbar. And he said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would actually smell these grandsons. He would cuddle them, he would love them. And again, nowadays, is that something that we do with our children? Is it, do we cuddle them, do we love them? Do we show them that love? And nowadays we see that this sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, children have grown up, they've gone all their lives and they said that our father never hugged us. Our mother never hugged us. Allahu Akbar. You may think that you're fulfilling your duty by not giving your children that time, by not hugging them, by not giving that love and affection. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that we should give that love and affection to our children. If we look at Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, I'm going to give you a very brief introduction to his life, because although we all know that what happened on the plains of Karbala, and maybe some of us don't know that, but if we were to give you a brief introduction so you know who this person is, and unfortunately, as Muslims, we don't know who these personalities are, who these great people are. Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, he was born on the 5th of Shaban, 4 Al-Hijri, and he was born in Madina Thumma Nawra. And the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he named him Hussain. His kunya is Abu Abdullah, and he's the leader of the youth in paradise. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was so fortunate, Allahu Akbar, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave azan in his ears. Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu was also very generous and he was a very virtuous individual. Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, he performed Hajj many times on foot. And Sayyidina Musab states that Imam Hussain traveled 25 times from Medina to Munawwara for Hajj on foot. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, if you are fortunate enough to go and perform the Umrah, then when all the Hajj, and when you travel from Makkah to Medina or from Medina to Makkah, then when you're traveling and you're on your coach, you're on your AC coach and you're on your AC train or whatever it is, then look at the climate. Look at the roads, look at the side, all right, your road is so smooth. But if you look at that climate, it is a very rough climate. It's not a smooth desert, it's not easy to walk there. And we see that these people, 25 times on foot, we travel and we get on a coach between Makkah and Medina and it takes 4 hours, 5 hours, and we start complaining. Oh, we were told it was only going to take 4 hours. Why is it taking five? Whereas these people, Allahu Akbar, they traveled there on foot and it wasn't an easy journey to make. He took a great amount of knowledge from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his noble father, Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. See, he had that beautiful upbringing, that was the upbringing that he had, the family that he had. And his people said that his speech was so fascinating that people would desire that he does not sit in silence. They wanted to hear him continue to talk. And he heard and he narrated hadith from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his noble father, his honorable mother, and also from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. He learned the hadiths from these people. So think of the upbringing that he had, that these were his teachers. These were the great teachers that he had. And also, we also learn, viewers of the channel, that he was martyred on the 10th of Muharram, 61 Al-Hijri, in the plains of Karbala. Allahu Akbar. And he also a very, very pious person as well. And again, these people that were martyred, these people that were the grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these people that were the Ahle Bayt, they had such great qualities. But even then, they still had this passion for ibadah, this passion for worship. And we look at ourselves, use them, and they say, where are we going now? It is stated that Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, he would pray a lot. He would fast in abundance. He would perform many hajj. He would give a lot of charity. And he would participate in all good works. Allahu Akbar. A beautiful formula there to achieve the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Pray a lot, fast a lot, perform many hajj, and give a lot of charity and participate in all good works. The son of Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abideen, stated that my father, Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, would offer 1,000 units of voluntary prayer in the day and the night. Allahu Akbar. Nafal, 1,000. And we, what happens is, Salatul Maghrib, 3 rakat farz, 2 rakat sunnah, we forget the nafal. Salatul Isha, forget the nafal. Salatul Zuhr, forget the nafal. And yet these people, on top of those nafal, they would perform 1,000 every day. Allahu Akbar. This was the passion that they had. The passion that they had for ibadat, viewers of Malaysia. And if we look at ourselves now, where are we going wrong? That we don't have this passion inside us. Allahu Akbar. May we be sacrificed on the passion, views of Malaysia. And we also know, views of Malaysia, that Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, he was amongst the blessed companions. And the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, those beautiful personalities, those personalities that no matter what ibadat anybody does on the planet, from now to the day of judgment, nobody can compare to any of the companions. All of them are the stars. All of those people are guaranteed paradise, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. We can never compare to them. And to show the difference between us and the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you, meaning us, if any of us was to give a mountain of gold. Now, viewers of Malaysia, how much would a mountain of gold weigh? I cannot even think of a figure. You know, tons, thousands of tons, not kilos, not ounces, thousands and thousands of tons a mountain would weigh. If we were to give thousands and thousands of tons of gold, the weight of a mountain, basically a weight that we can never even count, maybe even all of the gold in the world would not be equivalent to a mountain full of gold. If we were to give that in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that would not even be equivalent to half a mud given in charity by any of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another hadith, it is one seer, which is approximately 1.25 kilos of barley. How much is that? 5 pounds, 6 pounds, 8 pounds, whatever it is. A companion gives that amount of in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that is better than us giving a mountain of gold in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So never ever, you know, this shaitanic whisper that comes to our mind that these people are better than the companions. Impossible. Not possible. Remove that from your mind. But what we should do is we should look up to them and respect them and adhere them and think to ourselves that these are our role models. The companions are our role models, and amongst those role models is the great Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. And instead that amongst his fard salah, he would offer nafl salah. Amongst this, he would offer all the other ibadat as well. But look at us, viewers of Malaysia, where are we going? We see that nowadays, even though I don't think there's a single Muslim. You know, if you're born in a Muslim household, and if you have the minimum Muslim education, then you will know that Salah is fard upon you. But still, we miss our Salah. Still, we're lazy in our Salah. And we make all sorts of excuses. And then if someone comes to us and convinces us and explains to us the importance of Salah and says to them, look, if you do not read your Salah, then your name will be written on the door of hellfire. If you miss your salah on purpose, it will be as if you lost the whole of your family. And if we're told about the sin and the punishment of those people that miss the salah, and someone convinces us that, okay, I'll start reading my namaz. But you know what? I'll start on Friday. You know what? I'll start on Ramadan. And again, this is a shaitanic whisper. Because what happens is, as Friday comes, then shaitan will put all these hurdles in front of us. Shaitan will put all these tasks in front of us, and we'll get so busy, everything, and we'll miss the salah. And then we'll say, you know what? okay, next Friday. And now Shaitan's got a whole week to fill up your diary of tasks on Friday. So there's no way you're going to read your namaz on Friday now because Shaitan's filled up your diary. Again, if you want to perform a good deed, don't wait for Friday. Don't wait for Ramadan. Yes, doing good deeds in the month of Ramadan, yes, there is great reward. But waiting for the month of Ramadan, all them sins that you will accumulate, what about them? So if you want to perform a good deed, perform it now. And if Allah Azza wa Jal forbid that you do not perform the namaz, tonight inshallah Salatul Isha, if you do not perform Salatul Isha, Allah forbid that you miss it. But if you do, then straight away repent and say, okay, I'm going to get up at Fajr. I'm going to read Fajr, I'm going to read Zohr, and straight away repent and straight away make intention for the next one. And Salatul Isha, we've got all night. If after this program you're tired, go to sleep, wake up at Sari, 15-20 minutes before Sari, read your Salatul Isha. If Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the tawfiq, then fast during the day and perform your Salatul Fajr, then go to sleep. We make excuses, viewers of Money Channel. Nowadays, we're too busy. And what happens is our namaz, our salah, it's become a hobby. Islam has become a hobby. We only do it in our spare time. We've got time to go to the gym. We've got time to go to meet our friends. We've got time to go and play football. We've got time to go cycling. We haven't got time to read our namaz. Why? Because we think that's not important and we put it to the back. That needs to be put to the front and that should be the priority. You know, when people have hobbies, then what happens is the life, they live their lives and whatever's left over, they fill the hobbies in. What should happen with those views of Malincham, our life should not revolve around our deen. Our deen should revolve around our lives. Our deen should be first and we should fit our life in around it. Not that we fit our life in, and if we can fit a bit of deen in, we'll do it. If we can read animals, we'll do it. If we can't do it, then never mind. No. And we look at these people. And you know, when you talk about Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, think to yourself, you as a Malincham, it is our iman that the martyrs, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the martyrs, they are alive, they are not dead. Think to yourself, viewers of Mother Channel, all those martyrs on the plains of Karbala, the martyrs of Badr, the martyrs of Uhud, all those martyrs that give their lives for the sake of Islam, if they could see us now, if they could see me now, if they could see you now, what would they think? That I sacrificed my children. I sacrificed my baby Ali Asghar. And these people can't even get out of bed for Fajr. I sacrificed all my family. And these people cannot fast during the month of Ramadan. I sacrificed my life. Allah Azza wa Jal bless these people with wealth and they cannot give zakat, they cannot go on Hajj. I sacrificed my family for these people. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be ashamed of ourselves that we have gone that low. These pious predecessors, they sacrificed their lives so that the deen of Islam could come to us. It didn't come to us easy, viewers of Madinah Channel. The deen of Islam came to us with great difficulties. Yes, maybe we got it as a gift, we were born with it. We were born with it. Within a few hours of us being born, the azan was read in our name. We were given a Muslim name. The akikah was performed, we were brought up in a Muslim household. And maybe we got it easy. But how did the deen get to us? How did it get to the UK? How did it get to the people that are in the UK now? If we go back, many struggles and strife took place. Nowadays, when we ask people to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, what are we met with? We're not met with swords. We're not met with armies that want to kill us. We're met with people that give us flowers and give us food and look after us. And yet still, no, I ain't got time for that. In the past, when people left, it is said that 110,000 companions listened to the final speech of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but only 10,000 are buried in Jannat al-Baqi. Where are the other 100,000? Where are the other 100,000 companions? I'll tell you where they are. They spread around the world. They left their homes and spread the deen of Islam. They didn't have the internet to find out what the weather was like there. They didn't have the internet to find out what the situation was like there. They didn't have the internet to find out what vaccinations, what currency, what food, what they needed there. No, they left and they went. And when they went, they weren't met with flowers. They weren't met with welcoming. They were met with swords in many cases. But they put their life on the line so that the deen of Islam could cut to us. So these people of the past, we owe it to them, viewers of Money Channel. We should be ashamed of ourselves if this is what we're doing. How embarrassing it is that we are in this state. That we have fallen so low, viewers of Money Channel. And one of the reasons that we have fallen so low is we do not give that tarbiyah to our children. As I said at the beginning, love of the Quran, love of the Prophet, love of the Ahlul Bayt. If we give these three things to our children, then everything will be covered. Because if you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you love him, you will love salah. You will love fasting. If you love the Quran, then you will know about zakat, you will know about hajj. If you love the Ahlul Bayt, then you learn about respect and honor. You learn about all these things. And if you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you love the Quran, then you will detest from all those sins. Is this how far we have fallen? And nowadays, viewers of Madhya Channel, we claim to love. These were the people that truly loved. These were the people that truly loved the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions and the likes of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. They were the people that truly loved. Nowadays, if we were to ask you, viewers of Madhya Channel, do you love Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu? We would say yes. We love him. And people would say, Ya Hussein, good. But would you say, Ya Yazid? No, you wouldn't. But who do you follow? Do you follow Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, or do you follow Yazid? No, I follow Imam Hussein. I don't follow Yazid. Who follows Yazid? Nobody's that stupid to follow Yazid, are they? It's true. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he never missed his salah. Yazid stopped praying his salah. Who do we follow? Yazid abandoned the sunnah. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu was a perfect example of the sunnah. Who do we follow? Yazid, it is said that in his court there was dancing women and singing women there. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, he never looked at a non-Mahram woman. Who do we follow? Now you may say, oh, hold on a minute. I don't go to those places where there are singing women and dancing women. Okay, you don't. But how many times are you flicking your channel on your TV and watching those scenes, watching them women singing, watching non-Mahram women dancing in front of you, and you stay there and you keep it on that channel until someone comes in the room. As soon as someone comes in the room, you change the channel. Do you not think Allah Azza wa Jalla is not watching you? You delete your memory on your phone and think, oh, nobody's going to find out what pages I've been to. You delete the history on your PC tablets and think, nobody knows what I've seen. Are these the acts of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu? Do we respect him? Do we follow him? Do we honor him? Do we love him? And unfortunately, viewers of Milch Channel, if we're honest with ourselves, if we are honest with ourselves, then we don't follow Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. We don't follow his teachings. We don't follow his life. And we've gone so far away that we just ignore these things now. We think that we're not committing any things. We think none of this is happening. You know, the psychologists, they said that in our heads, there are boxes. They're like boxes in our heads in which things are stored. So those people that, mashallah, are the hafiz, there's a big box there that they store the whole Quran in that box. Yeah? And that Quran is there in the mind. And then maybe that same person that is a hafiz, he might be a mechanic, he might be an engineer, and he's got a mechanic box, an engineer box. We have a language box, we have all of these boxes. And there's a box in our mind that says death on it. We never open that box. We ignore it. But it's there. Viewers of Manishan, our lives are short. And we need to make a change. We need to give that tarbiyah to our children. They need to learn about these people. They need to learn about these great personalities and be aware of who these people are. Otherwise, we will be lost, viewers of Madhya Channel. And if we look at these people of the past, we see the passion that they had for the Quran and reading the Quran. How many of us at home read the Quran on a daily basis? Amir al-Sunnah, he guides us, he instructs us in the Madhini Namaz Qadr that read at least three verses of the Quran with translation and commentary on a daily basis. And if only we were to sit around as a family, if we sit down, three verses are recited, the translation is read, the commentary is read, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, make a change in us. You know the people who study rocks, geologists, they said that when water drops on a stone, by drops of a water, a hole can be made in a stone. By drops of a water, the shape of a stone can be changed. If drops of water can change the shape of a stone, what can the drops of the eyes of the Quran do to our hearts if they fall on them every day? But unfortunately, we've gone so far away from the Quran. Where is the Quran in our house? It's wrapped up in a beautiful cloth. It's put on the top shelf. Fortunate is that house. And I'm going to say fortunate because unfortunately, these are amongst those better houses. Fortunate is that house where it's taken down just for the month of Ramadan, for 11 months it's put up there. Really, it should be unfortunate, but I would say it's fortunate because in most of the houses, even that doesn't happen. The only time the Quran is open is when someone passes away. And then we ask each other, where is the Quran? Oh, I don't know. Oh, let's borrow one. Let's get the masjid to send us a Quran. Let's get the masjid to send us a spot. We haven't got the Quran in our house. You've got all sorts of things on your PC phones, on your tablets. You've got all sorts of things. You haven't got a Quran in your house. You read so many articles. You waste so much time, but you've not read the Quran. And these people of the past, they had this passion. They had the passion for reading the Quran. Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu was a practicing scholar of the Quran and an embodiment of piety and righteousness and someone who had fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla in his heart. Even though he had such a great status, he still had the fear in his heart. We have no fear. We have no fear. We think we're going to live forever. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we're not going to live with it, but there's, oh, we'll worry about it later. And we also see from these pious people that Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, he was so generous that whatever wealth he had, he would give away. And if he, for whatever reason, he delayed, if someone asked him for something and there was a delay in him not giving that money to them, for whatever reason, he would apologize to that person. He would have that humbleness inside him. And these characters of these great pious predecessors that we have, we need to read them. And you will realize that they were kind people, gentle people, humble people, honest people, righteous people. You know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person passes away, if people speak ill about that person, then hell is wajib for that person. If a person passes away and people speak good about that person, then jannat is wajib for that person. What will people say about me when I pass away? What will people say about you when you pass away? What does your neighbors think about you? What does your family think about you? What do your relatives think about you? What does your people that you work at think about you? What do you think they would say about you? Would they be glad to see the back of you? Or would they be genuinely upset when you go? And again, we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing, viewers of the channel? Allahu Akbar. And from the lives of the Muslim channel, we can realize that we're such humble people, such righteous people, such pious people. But please, viewers of the Muslim channel, take a message from their lives. Learn something from their lives and take a lesson. You know, these stories that we give, these parables that we give, we're not giving them so that we've got great bedtime stories. We want to learn from their lives. And so what we need to do, viewers of the channel, we need to educate our children. We need to learn the stories and tell these stories to our children and tell them that, look, this is the meaning of this story. From this story, we can see that Imam Hussain was such a pious person. From this story, we can see that Imam Hussain was such a humble person. From this story, we can say that Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu spent in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Oh, my son, we should do this. Oh, my daughter, we should do this. Show them the passion that they had for reading the Salah. Son, let's get up, let's go and read Fajr together. Son, let's go for Zohr. Son, let's go and read Asr. Son, let's go and read Maghrib. Son, let's go and read Isha. The mother should say to the daughter, Beti, it's time for Zohr, let's read Namaz. Beti, it's time for Asr, let's read Namaz. And be an example. Because if we do not give our children the right example, then how can you expect them to follow the tenets of Islam? We've not taught them, it's our responsibility. Don't think to yourself, oh, I send him to the Imam Sahib every day for 2 hours a day, for 3 hours a day, he's with the Imam Sahib. And it's Imam Sahib's fault if he's not been sorted. No, it's not Imam Sahib's fault, it's your fault. It's your responsibility. If your Imam Sahib teaches them or doesn't teach them, it's still your responsibility. You cannot push the book. On the day of judgment, when you are questioned, when your relatives, when your children will complain that our father didn't teach us the deen of Islam, your answer can't be good enough. Oh, I sent him to that Imam Sahib, he's a good Imam Sahib. No, that's not good enough. It is our responsibility, viewers of my channel. And with this in mind, viewers of my channel, I humbly request you, when we're talking about the sacrifices that were made on the plains of Karbala, we need to think to ourselves, what sacrifices are we making? Yes, we sacrifice a lot to make money, to make that house, to make that goatee, to make all them things that we have in our life. We made a lot of sacrifices to achieve them. But what sacrifices have we made for the deen of Islam? What sacrifices have we done so that we can achieve a better hereafter? We need to perform those acts. We need to create those sacrifices in that life so that when we're in that dark and lonely grave, it won't be just a dark and lonely grave. It'll open up and it'll be a garden of paradise. When we're on the bridge of Sirat that is sharper than the sharpest sword and finer than the finest hair, then our good deeds will take us across that bridge. On the day of judgment, when there'll be nobody there except for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intercede for us, and people will take our good deeds away from us, We pray that that day comes. When that day comes, our good deeds aren't taken away from us because we've fulfilled our roles, our duties and responsibilities in this dunya. But what are them duties? What are them responsibilities? Viewers of Mother Channel, attach yourself to the environment of Dawud Islami. Become accustomed with this environment and make yourself active in this. Watch Mother Channel and become accustomed with the activities. Learn to protect your iman. You know, when you left your house today, or when you came home today, you locked your car. When you leave the home, you lock the house. You do all these things to lock your goods, but what about locking your iman? Mother Channel, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, will enable you, help you to lock your iman. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you and all the viewers the tawfiq to think about what I said and to act upon what I said as well. Ameen bi jahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
May you keep ascending success, stay.